And welcome in, everybody. We say hello to you here on a Wednesday, and it is game day as well. The world-famous Pinstripe Bowl with Iowa matched up against Boston College. Great show for you today. Zuba Mahente is coming up on the show from ESPN. We'll have that conversation in a little bit. Trent, how are you, pal, and how excited now are you? Is that adrenaline rush running through your veins as you're getting ready? Because the kickoff is only, what, a few minutes away?
Yeah, we're getting ready for it, and you know what? I actually am excited about the game. I am. I'm excited for
See?
It.
See?
I am, and we'll have it on, and we'll be watching, but yeah, I mean, it's a Pinstripe Bowl. It doesn't mean a whole lot. I get all that, but it's still football. And it's the last time we'll get to see this team in action. It'll be the last time to see Joshua Jackson and Josie Jewell and Nathan Budgeta and a bunch of guys. You know, Sean Welsh playing their final game in a Hawkeye uniform. And guys that you got to know well, or for Joshua Jackson, got to see in one incredible season. So, yeah, I am excited about it. You know, I've kind of laughed about it. We've joked a little bit, but it's still football. It's still a chance to see the black and gold go out there. So I am excited. I think it'll be fun today. We'll be watching it here throughout the day today. But, you know, I had this thought as we were getting ready for the show and we were mapping things out today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it here at the top. But for the most part, you know, people that want to hear the game, they're on their way home. Hey, get off work, maybe bump off, you know, 4 o'clock. They're going to jump over and they're going to be listening to Dolph and Podolak, right? I mean, that's what they're going to do. So
yeah, I think so.
We're going to provide some counter programming today. We're going to go out there and do things a little different. We'll get a Cyclone perspective. We're going to talk college basketball today with Aaron Torres, you know, Zubin Mahente from ESPN. He'll give us a gamut of basically everything. So we're going to go a little counter programming from that because, well, Hawkeye fans, they want to hear the game. And unfortunately, we can't. Now, did you ever hear the court case? This was, I want to say it was back in the 90s. In an Iowa City radio station, they broadcast the games, though they didn't have the rights at the time, and that's what led to, you know, Learfield and all the rights that were out there. But back in the day, Iowa would have stations from across the state that would come in and broadcast the game. So you'd have a radio crew from Mason City. You'd have a radio crew from Cedar Rapids. You'd have one, obviously, Zabel from Des Moines and WHO. You had these people from all across the state that would come in. Well, this Iowa City radio station said, the heck with actually going and having to pay the broadcast fee. We'll just watch it on television and then do our play-by-play over that. Did you ever hear of this?
No, I've never heard of this.
It led to a huge court case. It was something that I know I had a friend that went to law school out of state. It was something that they talked about there. It was a big deal nationally, you know, what constitute broadcast rights, what you can have over the air, and it was something pretty cool. Now, obviously, University of Iowa won, and we know what broadcast rights are about, but that's why we can't sit here. I would love to just be watching the game and give him play-by-play. You could be my color man for that, Jimmy B. I'd put you in the number two seat because, well, it's the Hawkeyes. Come on. I mean, let's be real.
You'd have to call your home team. I would acquiesce for you there, pal. I would.
See, that's why you're a good guy sometimes, and there's one of the reasons right there. You would do that for me, but we can't do that. We can't do that, but boy, would that be cool. I thought that was so interesting, so compelling, and I'll see if I can find, you know, an article talking a little bit about that, Jim. I think you would be very interested in it, but I want to say it was maybe KCC. No, what was it? It was something over in Iowa City, though. I'm almost sure of it, and they just went to a sports bar, watched it on TV, and broadcast the game from there. And we're promptly told cease and desist, and then it turned into a big thing. But, yeah, I'll see if I can find more information about that. But that is why we can't do the play-by-play here. No, we do not have the rights to the Hawkeye game, unfortunately.
No, we do not. But we are excited, just like what you said. It is, you know, your home state team is playing, just like we'll be excited Saturday when Iowa State matches up against Memphis. I mean, when one of your home state teams is playing, you definitely want to watch. You want to be involved. Mm-hmm. Look, I know that you just trashed the bowl game for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, but here you are on the precipice of getting ready, and now you kind of have that little bit of adrenaline rush going. So I'm happy that, as a Hawk fan that you are, that you have at least kind of, I guess, got involved in the world-famous Pinstripe Bowl and the monster matchup between Iowa and Boston College?
Well, offensive line is going to be in a state of flux. You know, we've talked about that as well. Found out last week that Lerick Jackson, though he traveled with the team, will not be part as he is suspended for a violation of team rules. Speculation what that is. It doesn't matter. He's not going to be out there. So it'll be Levi Paulson getting a start over at right tackle and Tristan Wirfs moving over to the left side. And I do wonder, and it'll be pretty easy just to keep everything the same and then go with the new left tackle. I do wonder going forward, though, Tristan Wirfs, we see this kid as a true freshman. He was an Army All-American last year, you know, a big-time recruit, but Mount Vernon kid, staying close to home. His explosiveness, though, just as an athlete, and I saw him at the wrestling tournament a few years ago, just what a good athlete he is there. He was nationally recognized as a track athlete, throwing the shot put. He is an explosive athlete. And though Jackson's a pretty good athlete himself, I do wonder in the future, going into next year with those two guys becoming sophomores, if we're going to see Wirfs become the left tackle and Lerick Jackson jump over to the right side. And I wonder if this is almost, you know, a little trial by fire, if you will, seeing if Wirfs can handle that left tackle spot.
I'm with you. I want to see what takes place today with that offensive line as well. See if they can block for a Walkley. See if they will have time for the quarterback to be able not just to dink and dunk, but to throw downfield a little bit. Boston College, I think, lost their one of their top defensive players on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be able to play. So that's a plus right there for Iowa. And look, this is, what, a 2.5-point game? I was favored in this game by 2.5. By the way, speaking of which, this game is important for you and I in our world-famous pick segment. Oh. It's the last game of our picks, Trent.
Well, and we both went on the same side of this one. We both took Boston College. Now, it doesn't matter because, Jim, you continue to dominate here. How are you doing this? You went 3-1. What do you got? Well, let's see here.
3-1.
3-1. I went 1-3. Yeah, the Vikings, I had the Packers. I had the Dolphins, you had the Chiefs. And, well, I got it right in the Seattle-Dallas game.
You had it right in the Bears. I had the Bears.
Yeah.
I took your stinky Bears.
Unbelievable. Jimmy B just keeps winning. I won't be able to pick up any ground today as we're both on Boston College side of this one. But we'll count down to kickoff here today. We'll bring it, like we mentioned, a little counter programming as well for the Hawkeye fans. You know where to go, but we got you covered if you're not a Hawkeye fan. And we'll talk some Cyclones today. We'll also talk college basketball, Zuba Mahente. We got a lot more planned for you coming up this afternoon, Jimmy B. What else is on the dock? A couple bowl games tonight, and Fox is going to jump into the mix with, what is it, the Foster Farms Bowl with Purdue, Arizona.
Yeah.
And what's the other game this evening? I forget already. I'm getting old.
Wait, you trying to catch up to me already? Is that the plan for you?
I'll never catch up to you. Oh, Texas-Missouri tonight. Yeah.
Yes.
That one, I kind of like the game. Texas.
Yeah.
Texas getting to a bowl game, all right. They broke their not getting the bowl game the last couple of seasons in Herman's first year. I know there was some buzz, some maybe people that thought, hey, Herman's done such a good job of turning, you know, what he did at Houston right away, the improvements he made when he went to Ohio State in their offense right away. But you know, learning process there. And then you got Missouri, who started off the season 1-5. They were just awful. And all of a sudden, Drew Lock became the best quarterback in college football. I mean, look at the numbers that Drew Lock put up this season.
Unbelievable.
43 touchdowns. 43 touchdowns, 3,700 yards passing against only 12 interceptions. He was ridiculously good. So, a fun nightcap. And we're in this week where we get those late-night college football games. This is a good week, Jimmy B. It really is.
It really is. I really like it. And, of course, tomorrow night, I'm really looking forward to Washington State and Michigan State in the Alamo Bowl. Mm. I just want to see how Michigan State's vaunted defense handles the pass-happy Cougars. This could be a total dynamic of we're slow as molasses, and on the other side of the ball, we're going to play fast, and you're going to have to chase us all over the field. So, because the styles are so contrasting, the slow plodding Big Ten against the run and shoot offense, pretty much of Washington State. So I think that's going to be a highly entertaining game. I also like the Arizona-Purdue game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen their quarterback, Arizona's quarterback, play at all?
Yeah. I saw quite a bit of him, Khalil Tate.
Yes.
Towards the middle of the season. At the end of the season, I didn't see as much of him until the game against Arizona State at the end of the year. But, yeah, I made sure whenever they were on, I think they were on FS1 a couple of times with those late-night mm-hmm. games. Fortunately, a couple of the Pac-12 network games wasn't able to see because, well, DirecTV and Pac-12 can't come together on a deal.
Right.
So that's what we have. But, yeah, I see him. I mean, he is dynamic, and he can certainly kind of catapult himself with a big performance tonight against Purdue. If he puts up another 200 yards rushing and throws for a couple of touchdowns, he'll be in the conversation going into next year, perhaps, as mm-hmm. One of those Heisman guys. It's going to be incredibly difficult, a running quarterback, to do that and to stay healthy over the course of the year. I think it'll be really tough, but Rich Rod finally found his guy to run that offense.
He did, and this guy is absolutely phenomenal to watch. I mean, he is a gifted athlete. Smart kid as well, and from that standpoint, that makes Arizona a very dangerous team for next year. We'll see how Purdue's defense, they're not used to seeing this kind of offense at all, and you know as well as I do. You can look at all the tape you want to look at, but your scout team can't run it with the speed and efficiency that the team you're going to play against does. So I think this will be a real shock to the nervous system of Purdue when they get a chance to see Arizona's offense take flight tonight.
So we get that going on. How about this, Jimmy B? What is it today? Wednesday? I'm already confused.
Yes.
So I was listening to Gary Parrish from CBSSports.com, and he was talking about the Kentucky-Louisville game in college basketball coming up on Friday. I'm like, okay, well, Friday night, you know, you got the college games going on. All right, you know, be keeping an eye on that. Iowa State obviously plays Texas, but he's talking about the game and at noon, coming up at noon. I'm like, what is he talking? Noon? Why? They're not playing a game at noon, are they? Friday, they play at noon Central Time. Louisville, Kentucky on CBS on a Friday at noon in college basketball. You ever see this one before, Jimmy B?
Well, I guess it's just because New Year's Day falls on a Monday. I haven't seen this before. So are people taking Fridays off?
Apparently.
Are they taking Friday through Monday off again? It's another four-day fun fest? Maybe. I mean, there are a lot of bowl games, of course, on Friday. But that's tradition. I mean, once this week begins, there's bowl games every day from noon until, you know, midnight almost. So,
but not college basketball.
I don't know. Yeah, but not, yeah.
It's
yeah,
so
I'm with
weird.
You.
The Bluegrass
yeah,
Stadium,
it is.
I think everybody will be taking Friday off because it's Kentucky-Louisville. But, yeah,
yes.
It's so odd. Now, I do see it's on CBS. It's on the big CBS at noon our time. And then they have, I believe, the Sun Bowl that comes up afterwards.
Yes.
So,
Carolina State, Arizona State.
All right. So that's, I guess, the reason, at least in a programming standpoint, of why you had that one. But it just struck me as so odd that going to have a game, a huge college basketball game, Kentucky-Louisville. It's one thing to have, you know, a Power 5 conference team against maybe a mid-major or something like that. But Kentucky-Louisville, the importance of that game. And then, there it is, NC State, Arizona State afterwards. So that's the reason for it. Well, at least Friday, I know I got a lot of good things going on during the shows. That'll be fun.
That'll be good. I mean, we'll have plenty to watch while we're talking. So from that standpoint, we can keep everybody updated on everything that's going on. And Friday night is potentially one of the best games of the season with USC and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait for that one in the Cotton Bowl, Trent.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Well, we'll take a time out here. We got lots to come here on the program as we take you up until 6 o'clock. Zuba Mahente will be here. Aaron Torres talking college basketball. We're going to talk some Cyclones as well. We got you covered until 6 o'clock here. A little counter-programming, if you will, is Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
And welcome back. We continue to roll along right here. Jimmy B and TC, the big talker, 1700. Ryan Van Bibber, SB Nation on the National Football League, is our guest right now. Ryan, hello. How are you? And also, how excited are you to see Patrick Mahomes getting a start for the Kansas City Chiefs in this last game against Denver?
Well, I mean, you know, it gives you a reason to watch these Week 17 games at the very least, because, you know, there's not a lot of them that count for much this week. So it's a nice little sideshow.
It is a sideshow, and one that, as you can imagine, the Chiefs fans around here are excited about the future, what Mahomes is. It's something that Kansas City hasn't done very often, invest in a quarterback in the first round. Mahomes, well, I think some polarizing thoughts out there about him. We know he's got the big arm. He's got the cannon to him. Never won at a high level. You can blame the defense of Texas Tech for that. But where are you with Patrick Mahomes and his future when he takes over the reins officially, more than likely next season?
Oh, I'm pretty high on him. I mean, you know, I think he was a talented guy, and I think that, you know, they made a smart move not throwing him to the fire. I know there's some Chiefs fans I work with, and they were upset not to see him get the starting job at some point this season. But I think that's probably pretty smart. Gives him a chance to learn the offense. And he's a different cat than Alex Smith. I mean, he's a much more natural deep ball thrower. I think that'll be interesting to have an offense where you have a quarterback that, you know, it's not an extra work to throw the pass more than 20 yards downfield, you know, for more than four or five times a game. So, I mean, it's an interesting mix of the offense. It'll be an interesting look, especially with, you know, guys like Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt, those speed guys, and what they can do with that offense in Kansas City.
All right, then take me to a couple of the locals that will be matched up against each other, and that will feature Minnesota and Chicago. The Bears are playing for nothing except pride. Minnesota still is playing for something a little bit, but do you see them sitting a few players, and could this be a Teddy Bridgewater game as well?
Yeah, I think you'll definitely see Bridgewater. Whether or not he starts, we'll see. They don't have a lot of risk. They haven't technically clinched home field advantage, I don't think. I haven't looked at it yesterday, but, you know, they don't have much on the line with this game for the Vikings. It's a good chance. They're probably going to get a bye, get a little extra rest for your guys. So you can get Bridgewater out there and get him a few more reps in case you do have to see him in the playoffs, in case Keenum gets hurt for any amount of time and they can use him, you know, and get him kind of some reps and some looks at the defense, at an opposing defense. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect to see a lot of starters for Minnesota for all four quarters, maybe the first and second, but, you know how these games in Week 17 are. So it'll probably look like the backup show by the time the fourth quarter starts.
Yeah, and guys, getting ready for the playoffs, and the other ones making plans to make a vacation, and that'd be the Chicago Bears. Hey, a report today about Sam Bradford going through practice next week. Mike Zimmer talked a little bit about that. Let's say that Bradford is completely healthy. You go into the divisional game. Who's the backup quarterback? And with that, do you carry three on the roster? You just go with two? A decision to be made certainly there for the Vikings.
Ooh, that's a tough call. I mean, I feel like at this point you just got to go with what you have, and we'll see how healthy Bradford is. But, you know, given his injury history, I would hate to lean on him too much, even as the backup. But, you know, I guess you could say the same for Bridgewater, too, considering how serious his injury was. But, you know, it's a nice problem to have. I mean, it's sort of the embarrassment of riches problem. But, you know, I'd hate to see him. You know, you might need that extra roster spot instead of saving it for a third quarterback. That's the kind of spot for the playoffs where you kind of tend to need those. You know, you think about those positions where you need an emergency guy. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, a lot of teams can, you know, you don't have a backup long snapper on the roster. You could be really screwed if you don't have somebody like that. So, I mean, I think they have to kind of be wise with their roster management. It wouldn't be necessarily a bad idea to activate him and then leave, you know, one of the guys off the game day roster. But, you know, we'll see how they play it.
Ryan Van Bibber is our guest, SB Nation on the National Football League. Jimmy B and TC on the Big Talker 1700. Okay, so Bill Belichick, being the sly dog that he is, the Pittsburgh Steelers cut 40-year-old linebacker James Harrison. So Belichick signs him. Does he sign him just so, if they play the Steelers again, and most people think they will, Harrison can give them more insight? Is that the only reason they signed him? Or do you think that Harrison will indeed see the field?
I think he might see the field. I mean, you know, he wasn't very productive. I mean, I don't necessarily fault the Steelers for cutting him. He had one sack this season. He's he's pushing 40 years old, so he's not in the prime of his career or anything like that. So, you know, he was sort of expendable to the Steelers. And, you know, if he does see the field, I think it's probably a matchup situation for the Patriots. He's not going to see a lot of snaps anyway. I think it's the kind of stuff that allows them to push Van Noy inside, which is probably a better fit for Van Noy, especially, you know, depending on some of the packages they see from opponents. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have, you know, Bill Belichick's certainly not above a little toying with an opponent, a potential opponent before the playoffs, and signing Harrison is the kind of move that sort of reeks of that.
So why don't you jump over to the 49ers? It looked like just a few weeks back, about a month back, that they were going to have the number two pick. Can do a lot. All of a sudden, Jimmy Garoppolo gets the job, and they've gone 4-0. The only team to go 4-0 in the whole NFL over the last month, which is incredible to think about. The future of the 49ers. Ryan, you know this is going to be the buzz team of the offseason. A lot of talk about them being a team that comes out and jumps into the playoffs next year. Are we moving too quick on the 49ers, or with a good draft, could they be in that position next season?
I wouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves, but I mean, it's pretty interesting to think about the kind of jump that they could make, because not only do they have, you know, the draft coming up and the players then get through that, they have a ton of money to spend in free agents, even after they sign Jimmy Garoppolo to a contract extension. So it's a, you know, it's a good time to be a Niners fan. I mean, you certainly, they're the most hopeful team in the NFL right now. And the kind of up for a 5-win team. They've got kind of the excitement of a team going to the playoffs. So, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I think what's really amazing about what Garoppolo's done is that he's done this with a group of scrubs, really. I mean, yeah. You know, he doesn't have a great offensive cast of characters. Carlos Hyde, the running back, but you know, those receivers are not good receivers. I mean, this is not, it's not an A-list offense by any means. So the fact that he's been able to do this with sort of, you know, bit players and stuff is really even more impressive. So if you're the Niners, you go into next season, I think you start looking at depth on the offensive line, you start looking at big upgrades at the skill positions, and you could sort of make some noise. I mean, I don't know quite that they're ready to challenge for the NFC West title next year, but the future's really bright. I mean, the next 5 years for the 49ers are incredible.
Ryan, now you're going to have to put your thinking cap on here a little bit. Let's start with the AFC. We know who's there already with New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, and Kansas City. The wild card, is it Baltimore, Tennessee, L.A. Chargers or Buffalo Bills? Which of the two teams, in your estimation, get in?
Well, I think the Ravens for sure. That's an easy one. By process of elimination, I think I'd cross the Chargers off the list. I just don't have a lot of faith in them right now. It's too bad. I mean, I think they're kind of a fun team to watch, but they've kind of blown it in some big games. I'm not real high on the Bills either. I think the Titans are probably the ones that sneak in, especially because you have a situation where, they play Jacksonville this week, and Jacksonville will be anxious to avenge that loss. But, you know, they're also, despite what Doug Marrone said that he's going to play as starters, I don't think the starters are going to be out there for four quarters. And this is sort of a do-or-die situation, too. I mean, Mike Mularkey is probably coaching for his job in this game. So, you know, they have a little bit more riding on this than the Jaguars, who are locked into that third spot, that third seed, the AFC, and aren't going anywhere with it. So, you know, I'd say the Titans and the Ravens are going to get the AFC wild card.
And we'll get a repeat then if that happens. If the Titans win, a repeat Titans-Jags back-to-back weeks. That's just what the NFL wants, right? Those two markets, back-to-back weeks, including a playoff game. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's too bad because the Jags are a really fun team. I really enjoy watching them, but, you know, that Titans team, whoever gets that seed, whether it's the Chargers or Bills or the Titans, is going to be, I think they're going to be a pretty easy exit in the first round.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm with you there. All right, over to the NFC. The Falcons sit with the inside position, but they have their matchup coming up in week number 17 as they take on the Panthers. A lot to be determined here. Does it matter? Atlanta, Super Bowl team a year ago, 28-3 lead. We know about all that, but even if they get in, just something seems amiss with this Atlanta team. It's so much different than they were a year ago.
Yeah, I'm not real impressed with Sarkisian. I mean, yeah. I think that's not the only problem, obviously, but you know, when you have an offense that has this group of weapons on it and you're producing at this rate, it's just sort of embarrassing. I mean, what was that play last week where they were, you know, ended up with like a first and 30, a first and 35 or something? They run, you know, two dumb screen passes. And, yeah, of course, on third down, it's, you know, it's third and incredibly long. And, of course, Matt Ryan gets sacked. And, you know, it's just, it's predictable. I hate that short, you know, that offensive mentality of we're going to play, you know, for that short section of the field and take our chances with yards after the catch. This is a team with Julio Jones. They don't need to do that. So it's, I think if they do make the playoffs, and right now I think the Seahawks will get in over them for that last spot in the NFC. So if they do make the playoffs, I don't think they'll be there very long. But, you know, they've got some soul searching to do in the offseason as far as what they're going to do offensively.
Having a conversation with Ryan Van Bibber right now here on the Big Talker 1700. Okay, out of that, do the Seahawks get in, or are they going to miss the tournament?
No, I think the Seahawks will get in. I don't trust Atlanta against Carolina because Carolina doesn't have a lot to play for this weekend, so I don't know what will happen in terms of the starters. But, you know, there's still some seating arrangements that could kind of, you know, go there that they could kind of be looking for here. So and the division title too. So you know, and Seattle plays Arizona. That's a much easier lift for the Seahawks, even sort of a beat up in fighting plagued team that they are right now. I think the Seahawks are probably going to get in this, and that's kind of a scary thought because as much dysfunction and weakness as the Seahawks have, they also have, you know, some incredible players on their defensive line and Russell Wilson, and they can kind of probably steal a game in the playoffs.
Going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Ryan Van Bibber, SB Nation. As always, Ryan, good talking NFL with you. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
RVB. You can find him on Twitter at JustRVB. Ryan Van Bibber on the National Football League. Jimmy B, week 17. It is upon us. No night game. It's New Year's Eve. That doesn't matter to you. You'd be at a bar. You going out for New Year's Eve? You got any big plans?
I haven't made any. That's not a night that I like to be out and about late.
Okay.
Yeah, just not. I guess I suppose that if you had a bunch of friends and you went to a hotel and you had your room and you were just going to stay there and party like in the ballroom with a band and everything, okay, I'm good with that.
Sounds like whoa. So,
yeah, what?
Is that a swingers party? Is that what you're talking about?
Dude, I've been swinging since. Oh, you mean one of those? Oh no.
No, okay. I'm just trying to get a handle on the situation.
I thought
you're talking about getting a bunch of friends and going to a hotel. So I'm just wondering. Does Jimmy B?
That way you're safe.
Does he like keys parties? I don't know. I don't run around in the same circles as you, Brenton. So I just wanted to make sure.
It seems to me you know more about it than I do. So what does that tell everybody?
No,
at
no.
any rate,
I'm a good family man, Jim Brinson. You know better than that.
At any rate, no, I just don't like being out and running that risk on New Year's Eve when you get people that, you know, they're not out and about very much and this is their time to go crazy. Okay, you can go crazy, but without me.
Good NFL talk and New Year's Eve talk with Jim Brinson.
Yes.
The swinger of the crew. We'll come back on the other side with more. We take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight. It's Jimmy B and TC. And we're back with you once again here on the Big Talker 1700. It's Jimmy B and TC. And happy right now to be welcomed in by our good buddy Cody Peck. You see his work and talking Cyclones all the time with us here on Jimmy B and TC. Our conversations with Cody presented by Murphy Towers Service. You can find them online, murphytower.com, and taking applications right now for their apprenticeship program. Earn while you learn with Murphy Tower and murphytower.com. What's happening, Cody?
Hey, fellas, not too much. How are you guys?
Things are good here. Can't complain outside of, well, obviously, the cold weather. We can complain about that, but nobody cares. And the people down in Memphis that are already down there early for the bowl game, though it's warmer, it's not exactly a tropical destination. Don't see a lot of people running out there in the short sleeves and shorts down in Memphis.
No, not at all, Trent. It's pretty chilly down there. I listened to some of the post-game, you know, interviews from practice last night, and it sounded like I was in the mid-30s and pretty chilly and dreary weather. But I think 30 sounds pretty good to us up here in Iowa right now.
Yeah, I would take 30 over what we have right now. All right, so we get ready for the bowl game on Saturday. I know a lot of people, maybe today is the last day of work. You take Thursday, Friday off. You get Monday off with the New Year's Day. So a lot of people going to start making their way down there. A bowl trip with Iowa State after the drought that they have. Cody, if you can just relay how important it is, and it really didn't matter the destination, but having a drivable trip I think is going to help out. How important it is, though, for the psyche of Cyclone football fan to be able to see this and get the culmination of a bowl game?
Oh, Trent, it's huge, man. Words really can't put it into perspective how big it is for this football program and you know, fans from around the state that are Iowa State football fans. And I mean, this game is just, it's one of those things where it hasn't happened for so long, guys, that Cyclone Nation is really taking it under their arm and just going down there and having a great time. I know there's a large amount of fans that have already made their trip down there. There'll be others of us heading down later this week, but it's huge. I mean, this program has really come a long ways in just a matter of two short years. I mean, we're talking some pretty lackluster years under Coach Rhodes. No disrespect to Coach, but the results kind of speak for themselves. So the turnaround that Coach Campbell has done for this football program in such a short amount of time, guys, for this team to be going to a bowl game, you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter which bowl game we go to. We're just stoked to be heading down to Memphis to take on a tough Memphis Tigers football team.
What's been the conversation about playing on the Tigers' home stadium? Even though there'll be 25,000 Cyclone fans there, it's still Memphis home field, and it's a sold-out game.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, that's the thing. You have to understand, though, that this Iowa State football team, they really relish this opportunity. It's something to where this team has proven game in and game out on the road this year, that their ability to win on the road has been great. I mean, that win down at Oklahoma and Norman was huge. It goes as a kind of a game that doesn't come off as much of an upset during the season because they were favored, but in years past, a team like Iowa State has gone down to Waco and lost to a Baylor club by a couple touchdowns, and they went down there and took care of business there to close out the season prior to the K-State game. But this team relishes the opportunity. They really look forward to road games, and I think that it's a challenge. It gives it a little bit more, you know, of a hard game feel for this team because they're not having fun. I mean, don't get me wrong, guys, they're having fun at night, but during the day, this team is all focus with their practices. So it's going to be a huge opportunity for Iowa State football for sure.
So, Cody, you mentioned the matchup in the game, and there's some elements that go into that, starting at the quarterback spot. And it sounds like, for the first time in quite a while, going to have a healthy quarterback back there. You know, Kyle Kemp, it was such an amazing story, what happened in the Oklahoma game, the way that he played. But he's been dinged up for a while. With him back as healthy as he's been in a long time, according to Coach Campbell, just how good do you think this Cyclone offense can be? We talk about the Memphis offense, which is very good. Defensively, though, they got some issues.
Yeah, absolutely, Trent. I mean, this is huge for Kyle to be back and be fully healthy. I mean, as you mentioned, he was banged up towards the end of the season, and it really showed. The guy comes out and he plays in a gunslinger Brett Favre mentality game against Oklahoma, and I truly believe that that's the same mentality that Kemp and this offense are going to need coming out against Memphis because it's going to be a game where, you know, whatever defense shows up first, that team's going to get the W. And Kemp has got a tough opponent across from him, and Riley Ferguson, a quarterback for Memphis. He is a kid that is thrown for nearly 4,000 yards. So it's going to be a run-and-gun game for sure.
We're having a conversation with Cody Peck right here on the Big Talker 1700 on Iowa State. Look, this is a game for some seniors that – they hadn't had this opportunity. I mean, think about this. Alan Lazard's never played in a bowl game his entire career at Iowa State. I mean, how important is it to send these seniors out with a victory?
Oh, I think it just adds to what the legacy they've already started, Jimmy. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, the Alan Lazards, you know, and the Joel Landings of this team have gone through some trials and tribulations, obviously, with the coaching change and the struggle that has been Iowa State football. But I think the game is important, but, you know, they've really turned things around in such a short amount of time, and the credit does go to that senior group. And so I hate to say that this bowl game is kind of an all end all for everything, I guess, but you know, it's very important to Allen and Joel and the rest of those seniors to get the job done here to kind of cap off what has been a great career out of those guys.
All right, Cody, I got to get your thoughts. As I was watching Kansas State UCLA last night, I was thinking about you. Bill Snyder over there on the sidelines, maybe for the last time. I don't want to see this end poorly for K-State, for Bill Snyder. He wants his son to take over. You know, we've heard and read all about that. But Cody, from you, from a Cyclone perspective, we got to believe you hope this thing blows up, right? That Sean gets the job and then he turns out to be a terrible head coach. That's what you got to want, right?
Absolutely, Trent. I'm done with Bill Snyder. You know, I respect, you know, the statistics and what he has done at Kansas State in a tough area of the country, recruiting-wise. And you know, the transition with the kids he brings in there, he brings in a lot of the same athletes that Iowa and Iowa State are seeing here in Iowa, of course. But, no, I'm ready for the situation to be over, guys. I'm just I'm so over Bill Snyder and you know, that game that Iowa State played down there to end the season. Didn't help matters any, I'll tell you that much.
That's incredible. That look, he's 78 years old and still loves what he's doing. It's amazing. And his team put on a really solid performance last night, too, out in Arizona to beat UCLA. Look, this is – if he leaves, Cody, are they still pretty well set up?
You know, it's tough to tell. I just go by what's happened in the past, Jim, and that's, you know, when he did leave. Look what happened. You know, things went terribly wrong very quickly.
Yeah.
And it took him coming back to get the ship righted. So it's tough to say what's going to end up happening, but you got to give a guy that, you know, 78 years old, my God. I mean, you got to give them credit for his dedication to this football program.
Cody, over to a little bit of basketball, and it'll be Friday night. Kansas State comes into town to open up Big 12 conference play. 9 straight wins out of the Cyclone team, a complete transformation to what we saw at the beginning of the season, way back at the beginning of November. Here we are, and has the expectations changed? Are you still in that wait-and-see mode? See what happens against K-State, Texas to open things up. Where are you as you get ready for Big 12 conference play in the Big 12 with Iowa State?
Well, guys, I think it's time that this basketball team, you know, really takes the next step forward. They got off to the slow start. They had everybody and the naysayers in the world of Cyclone Nation thinking this was going to be a horrible year, 10-12 win year. And here we are, you know, sitting at 9-2 now after 9 straight wins. And then with a tough opponent in Kansas State, you know, coming into Hilton Coliseum Friday night, it's going to be a tough game. And I don't know what to tell you, Trent. As far as my I'm still cautiously optimistic as I look towards, you know, the Big 12 schedule here. There's no doubt in my mind that this is one of the toughest two conferences in the entire country. So for Iowa State to, I don't know, 5-7 wins in conference play is my expectation.
Man, oh, man. What do you think about 5-7? Is that what you have?
I do, yeah.
Repeat that. 5-7 wins in conference, that's where you have them? That's
it? I
do. Wow. So that would probably not give them an NIT bid either, right?
No. I mean, that's looking at, you know, 15, 16 wins on the season, Jim. I just think that it's going to be a struggle for this team come conference play. I really do.
It's a tough conference, top to bottom. It really
is. It
is,
yep.
And the depth of this conference, we've talked about it. I think that would be a disappointment. How would the fan base handle that in your mind, Cody, if it would go that way? Let's say they go 5-13, and I mean, there'll be frustrations, no doubt. You don't make 6 straight NCAA tournaments and fall back like that without some frustrations. But what do you think would be the conversation going into next year if that does play out in that fashion?
I mean, Cyclone fans are pretty quick to pull the trigger on things. I'm not saying that they would be, you know, calling for Coach Prohm or anything like that. But I think that the realistic thing that the Cyclone fans need to think about is how young this team is, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming into the Big 12, which we just got through saying is, you know, one of the toughest conferences in the country. You can't expect freshmen and sophomore kids that have never played these games to come in and you know, do great things throughout the course of the season. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but, you know, I do hope that Cyclone fans, you know, think big picture here.
I know they're struggling with injuries, Hans Brace, et cetera. Do you think any of the football guys, after they're done with a bowl game, will come on and try to help the staff or not?
I think that, I mean, that's gotten some good play, you know, with the register and all, but it's one of those things where anybody that has a potential NFL career, so Alan Lazard was one of the names that was being tossed out there for a while,
he's not going to take a chance
by getting injured and risk his NFL career or draft status. But guys like Marty Murdock, you know, is somebody that could potentially come in and, if anything, help them at practice just so they can have some more five-on-five and they're not using managers in the women's basketball team.
It could only be a help. Hey, a last thing for you here, Cody. Naz Long last night made his NBA debut, hit a jumper, hit a three-pointer early on, and then had to leave the game as he got a big cut over his eye. But Naz Long, the injury that he went through, battling his way back, being then a senior a season ago with that squad, a great Cyclone, and certainly great to see him out there on the NBA floor.
Absolutely, guys. He's this now makes Monte and George had a huge matchup last night out in Santa Cruz as well for the NBA G League, where Niang put up 26 on Monte's team. But to see Naz, kind of become the third one now to make his NBA debut off this latest roster from Iowa State, it's exciting, guys. It just is a testament to the program that has been built in Ames and the coaching staff and kind of the guys and the players they bring up there, and they mold them into these NBA talents. And there's no better guy on the face of this earth than Naz Long off the court, and so I'm happy for his abilities on the court in the NBA last night.
Always good, pal, when we catch up with you and we talk a little Cyclone football and basketball. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy the games, Cody.
All right, fellas, take care.
Cody Peck with us right here on the Big Talker 1700. Look, I get it that fans were hoping that it would be at least a little warmer in Memphis.
Yeah.
But 40's better than 6.
Ooh, 6.
6.
And it was chillier than that last. I mean, it was cold.
Yes.
I had to take out the recycling last night, Jimmy B., and grab something out of the mailbox, and just had a sweatshirt on and went out there, and I'm normally fine. I was not fine with that. It's bad out there, and got to get the car warmed up a little bit early today. I don't want to be jumping in at 6 o'clock into a freezing cold car. Got to remember, start that thing up.
Turn it on.
Yeah, right before the last segment, go out, start it up, and get that heat fired up, because it is chilly, no doubt. All right, Jim, let's take a break, all right? What do you say?
Okay, I'm good with that.
You need to rest the vocal cords. What, take a little swig of 7 and 7? Is that what you got over there in that cup?
It's got to be 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I figured. We'll come back.
Yeah.
More talk here on 1700 KBGG. Real sports talk for real sports fans as we take you up until 6 o'clock. Back with more in a moment.